4. All opposed? Twelve. Okay, the motion is denied.
We're still going to vote on the thing.
Yes. So now, okay, so Ted's motion is denied. Now we're back to the discussion beforehand, and we had a list over here, which Stacy was up on that list.
I move we close discussion and vote. Second.
We have a second. Okay. Now we're going to vote to close discussion. So by show of hands, all in favor of closing discussion?
We're going to vote, right?
Correct.
Yes. This is to close discussion. All in favor of closing discussion on Dwayne's motion? Okay. 12. All opposed? 2. Okay. Discussion closed. Now we're ready to vote on the motion.
Point of information. I was led to believe an hour ago that when the 14 people on this board finished asking questions or making statements about this motion, that I would be able to respond.
That's correct.
Yes.
Will I have that before or after the vote?
Well, we...
I move after.
It's an option.
Well, we did...
It might be strategic to do it before.
We did vote to close discussion, so that means if we let Dwayne speak, then nobody else is going to get to talk.
I make a motion that Dwayne has to speak.
I second.
I would like to ask a friendly amendment.
Yes?
That we limit his speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, at this time, we need to have public comment.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so is there anyone in the public that wanted to speak? Okay. Dwayne, can you hold your comments till after public comment? Okay. All right. So, Teresa, and then.
Well, I serve on the program council, and I'm for things. I am passing around. Who here believes in that KOT should have a healthy police department?
No.
It is Roy Zimmerman. He is a phenomenal political satirist. You can go to YouTube and look up Roy Zimmerman. You can see about 20 of his songs on there that deliver. He's a lot of fun, and we're going to have him perform. It's a Unitarian Fellowship that is on Ford Road. I hope to have it at the Wright Media Center, but it just didn't work out. It's going to be on Friday the 12th, which is the day that the pledge drive starts. The first Friday, the after the pledge drive starts, and well worth the money just to get a little more. So I hope that you will commit to, as board members, telling as many people as possible and encouraging them to come. He's a political satirist, singer, songwriter. He's really good. So that's all I have to say. Also, I don't know if anybody gets to cab, but the community advisory board meeting is on the 9th of the month. And I would like to be on the community advisory board. I was told that all you need to do is sit in your name and you would vote on that, but I need to be on the agenda.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we have it on the agenda. It may actually be.
I was going to nominate you.
Okay.
I will do that.
Okay, Joseph? Would you like to speak to the group? Good, let people know who you are who may not know who you are.
This is Joseph. Yes. I'm Joseph K. Formerly from the LSB, which my son retired in November. I come because I care about our station, as you do. I just need to confirm that again. Those who are cynical about why people do what they do and that they sometimes get judged as insufficient or uncaring enough for their standards. And that doesn't mean I don't fight for what I believe in. I do attempt to do that fight, though, in a way that I consider fair and compassionate. I don't use knives and I don't hurt. And one measure of that was that this weekend we had an event called the Firewalk Experience, and that was to confront the negative belief that we have that we cannot walk on fire without getting harmed. And there were 12 of us there. One of them is in this room now, a board member. I did invite all of the board members to consider this. As a measure of their commitment to learning what their beliefs are, to get in the way of cooperating with each other powerfully, you know you have that stuff in you, don't you? If you don't, you better go there and find out. You will find out. You are in the way of this station growing and developing. You, with your negative stuff in you that believes that we don't have enough energy, resources, time, money, people, listeners, and good programs. We fight like hell about making little changes because I think we feel sometimes, I see, insignificant, and sometimes we feel a little bit hopeless and we have things that run us. But those experiences that we come together in a group, such as a firewalk experience, to confront the negative stuff in ourselves, allows us to be together in a way that bonds us. I suggested that the board do this event as a measure of their willingness to go through fire for this station. And I think that's the kind of passion we need here. You may agree or not agree, I don't care if you do. I don't care about your opinions that impede the progress of this station, as petty as they might be or as magnificent as you think they are. What's in the way is cooperating in a powerful way. We have enough resources in our community and a nice body here to gather ourselves with a focus and with some sets of goals to take action. Action that is designed to create results, not to just ventilate and complain, because we have a lot of people who know how to do that very well. And you know amongst you who that is. And it's sometimes sad to see the energy being expended in that way. Because I think that energy could be better used to focus on some results. Now, I plan to go meet with one of the community Black History Month. We have a man in the community with a lot of people in the community who care about what they do in their community. We're going to bring them to the station, Garner, who has on that. And you're on that too, are you not, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and some other people on that committee. Yeah, the ARDC committee. That's a powerful committee, actually. So we get together and really seem to keep working together in a way that gets results. So I urge all of us here to think about what you're doing with your time and energy on this station and creating some bonds and communication and collaborating and finding a way to get some consensus and understand each other, be kind and less critical and cutting in your remarks and attitudes and the way you look away and turn off and roll your eyes, all that negative stuff. That's hurtful. You don't think it matters? That's bullshit. You're kidding yourself if you think you can get away with that stuff. That's noticed by everybody around you. Get off of it and move on, please. Thank you.
Okay, do we have anyone else in the audience? Nope. Okay, so we are back to Wayne Bradley.
Point of order.
Yes,
sir. We can play by the rules or not. If you move to close debate, even if you said an hour ago that you were going to give somebody that opportunity, you unclose the debate. And to give Dwayne the final word and not a chance for us to respond to what he's about to say, that's not playing by the rules.
Point of order.
We've moved to close the debate. It's either closed or somebody on that side who prevailed should move to reconsider, and then we can go back into debate on this thing.
We did move to close debate. However, there was a motion to allow Dwayne to speak, and that motion was passed.
So we would have to move to reconsider.
Right.
Let's move forward.
No, the motion.
No, I'm reconsidering the motion
before
debate.
That's the motion before. Okay.
I subsequently move that we limit the ensuing debate to 10 minutes.
I was supposed to do that, wasn't it?
First, we have to decide.
There's two motions before.
Yeah. Point of order. Given all the discussion that's going on, I think it's going to be a little bit of time for people's memories to remember necessarily the motion. Therefore, I don't see why I can't restate it. We've already agreed to 5 minutes. Why not?
We didn't agree to five minutes.
Okay, we have the motion.
We talked for 15.
To allow Dwayne, and that motion passed. We voted on that, and it passed. Now we have a motion to reconsider closing debate.
No, the motion is to reconsider opening debate.
Opening, okay.
So Dwayne can talk.
We don't have to open debate.
Okay, we already had that motion, though.
Okay,
I didn't think that we actually did that.
Yeah, we voted.
Yes, we did, and we voted open debate. And that motion passed to allow Dwayne to speak.
Okay, I'd like to limit whatever debate ensues after Dwayne speaks, because we've actually moved to reopen debate.
No.
We haven't. We've only moved to allow Dwayne to speak.
So nobody gets to rebut anything he said?
No. Unless that comes up.
I don't think you can do that. That's what Ted is saying. You can't do that.
So make a motion to
amend. I'm trying to make a motion.
Motion to reconsider.
I move we reconsider.
No,
we
voted on that.
I second.
I second the motion.
Okay,
so the motion is to allow 10 minutes for Dwayne to speak and discussion following.
For us to debate, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, can we have a second? Okay, that's the motion. All in favor, by raising your hands.
You're unanimous.
Okay, that's 11. All opposed. One. Okay. We have 10 minutes.
I get it.
20.
Wait, point of information. Do you want me to keep time?
I get it.
You got it?
10 minutes.
Dwayne gets to speak for how long, and then how much do the rest of us get to speak for?
Point of clarification.
We have 10 minutes, and originally we had talked about Dwayne taking 5 minutes.
Well, we have a standing rule that says 2 minutes is what you're allowed.
Yeah.
We can break our standing, we can change our standing rules, Ted, you know that. We can do whatever we want.
The motion to do that.
Motion.
We've got a motion.
10 minutes.
The motion is 10 minutes of discussion. And we're ticking away.
Time starts.
Ready?
Dwayne.
Okay. Well, I listen to more than 13 people. I'll speak for more than 2 minutes. I'll try and condense this into 5. And that's a stretch, because there's a lot to say. People versus programming, I think I mentioned that already. Nancy's point about 10 members, there's 6 and 6. I'm asking the program director, who is a 13th member of the committee, be allowed to vote on the committee, not stacking it in any more or less manner than that. Rhonda's mentioning about ad hoc LSB program council. Y'all, we used to have 3 or more committees. There was a program evaluation committee. There was a program advisory committee. There was a world affairs and news committee. There was a program. This board was involved in programming and micro programming and the minutia of programming to, I think, its deficit, as opposed to fundraising, outreach, growing the station, and making things that that normal boards make happen on boards. In terms of what Stacy said about Krigler and the issue being a power split, it is somewhat about power. And the truth of the matter is, we didn't have to share this power. As management, our job is to run the radio station. We could convene an evaluation committee of management that has nothing to do with this local station board at all. And we could do all of this in my office privately and never tell you all about it. And you could like it or not like it. And then you could, you know, depending on how many liked it and how many didn't like it, at the end of the year, you could go thumbs up, thumbs down, get a new manager, get an old manager, or whatever. This whole thing was built to be an expression, and we're the only station in the whole damn network that has a program council that actually is a manifestation of collaboration between boards and management. There are wars between boards and management at every other station. Most of the other managers never even come to these meetings to sit with their local boards. Maybe once a year they'll show up. I've been to like 90 of these meetings at least. You know, this is the most functional station in terms of collaboration. This is the only station that has a program council that does anything close to what we're doing as a manifestation of that collaboration. And I'm just asking to make this one little change so that we can continue to do it. Because if we don't vote to make this one little change, we still want to do program evaluations. If it can't be done under the auspices of the program council as it exists, then the program director and I are probably going to be forced to form an evaluation committee in the manager's office or in the program director's office. And whether it has any program council members or whether it has any LSB members or whether it's just, you know, me and the lawyer and the HR director making decisions, you know, that is a possibility. I'm not saying it is a threat. I'm just saying that it's, you know, it's a possibility because that's the way it is. In terms of Nancy mentioning, you know, homeowners associations and executive sessions, I can appreciate all that. I've had to deal with homeowners associations and, you know, trying to get something built in my backyard and having to jump through 18 different hoops to go to the city. I don't appreciate the kind of aspersion attached to German trains and making the things run on time as, you know, the structural change that you mentioned in that. In terms of program council origins that Melinda and Richard and some others mentioned, you know, there's some good history there. I wish everybody had as much of a depth of history involved in why we're even having this discussion here. And I look around the room, and unfortunately, the truth is a lot of y'all are really new to this little game that we play here that's called Local Station Board Politics at KPFT, and I'm sorry for that. And, you know, I as I said a month ago when I threw this out, it's like, I know that y'all are brand new. This is, and this may be blown out of context and made into something that is reflective of other political dynamics that have nothing to do with the reality that I'm trying to, in a very simple, finesse-oriented way, make one tiny keystroke change to make this thing actually able to do one of the major functions that we've tried to enable it to do, which is to have evaluations where the people doing the evaluations feel free to really be expressive of that. That in no way eliminates people voicing their concerns. It in no way eliminates the community from having input into programmatic decision-making processes. It, you know, I think it only enhances the functionality of the program council, and without it, I think it will be a less effective body. And that's, you know, I could go on. I didn't get through all 13 of y'all's people. Thanks for letting me go for 6 whole minutes.
Thank you. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. 4 minutes.
Point of order. I've not spoken to this motion, and she has. I spoke to the other motion, but not this one at all.
That's, you actually made a motion.
I did not speak to the Dwayne's motion, is what I did. And Stacy has.
Yeah, actually you did.
No.
I have you on the list over here. You let Wesley go first, and then you speak.
No, then I made the motion to send it to the national board. I didn't speak to this motion.
Yes, that's true.
But you could have, and you spoke about something else.
Okay, in the interest of moving along, Stacy, would you?
My understanding of what you said is that either we have only closed meetings in this body, or we don't have a body at all. Because the whole issue came up over whether or not we discuss the BBC in open session or not. So while I appreciate everything that was said by Dwayne, the question was not answered. Why is it so crucial that all these meetings be closed?
I'm only talking about one specific set of meetings from the Program Evaluation Subcommittee of the Program Council. Not Program Council meetings, all the Program Council meetings have, to my understanding, been open meetings.
What I'm asking is why these Program Evaluation Committee meetings must, in your opinion, be closed.
Because, as I said earlier, they are programs, but they are also reflective of the people who produce the programs. So whether you personally don't mind being filleted publicly, some people do, and that's just human nature. A lot of people don't, and when other people feel a sense of preclusion from being as expressive as they might in a small group setting where they can just let it all out on the table and talk about every particular wart and part that somebody has that they might not otherwise have. And that's all.
Okay. Jessica was next on the set. Jessica, do you wish to speak, or do you wish to allow Ted to speak?
I'm sorry, this is going to be totally out of order. Were you guys busy?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, the reason was because she had to answer my question. I'm sorry, I want to.
Okay.
I want to make a condensed statement or a question. I just wanted to know why. Can you explain that? So
thank you.
If what he just said that makes sense to me, so I don't know. Do I need to let Ted go first? Is that what?
Ted.
I'm not new to this process, as I guess you most of you know, and I have read the Corporation for Public Broadcasting rules on open meetings. Lawyers can disagree. That's why you've got judges and courts and so on and so forth. I'm concerned about us having closed meetings, the CPB finding out about it, and us losing that 10% of our budget because we are violating CPB rules. I also believe in transparency, even if the CPB rules were not there. But that's my first and foremost concern. The bylaws say that this body is supposed to work with station management. I'm paraphrasing here. So that programming decisions and programming evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. And all the years that we've been here, or I've been here, I haven't seen that happen at all. I would like one example of where this body and management work in a respectful...
No, it's up. 10 minutes up.
Okay, our 10 minutes are up.
Yes.
Call for the question that I'm curious.
You don't have to. We're done.
Okay. Bill?
I move to extend time for 2 minutes to let Dwayne answer to respond to me.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, well, first motion we just have a motion to allow Dwayne to speak for 2 more minutes.
Which Dwayne?
You.
Don't let that speak.
If you want to respond to
you
that.
You the man in the hot seat.
Let's do that.
I don't know. There's an awful lot to respond to. The open versus closed issue, I'm a believer in transparency, too. But there's a point at which transparency and opaqueness kind of converge. And there is a need, in some cases, to close the door and have a session with someone that is inappropriate to be held in a public context. As much as I would not conduct an employee review in a public forum, neither should I be conducting a programmatic review in a public forum. It's as I said earlier, it's a matter of respect and professionalism, and that's the way I intend to do it. And it doesn't in any way limit the transparency. And as I said, the input and the fact that the vast majority of what the Program Council does in its last 2 years have been conducted in almost entirely open meetings, save for the Program Evaluation Committee subcommittees meetings where they're doing specific discussions about specific current programmers. Not program proposals, not other issues that the Program Council deals with, but just that one thing.
Point of information from Duane. But Duane, wouldn't you like if the Program Council did its work in evaluating that show and that programmer, and then they brought that information to you, I can see where your management needs yours and Ernesto's conversation with that programmer and those producers, where that would be private in your office. But the evaluation and the discussion of the content, the producer, and all that, that would be public. But certainly the result of that evaluation would be handled privately with you and the program director and the programmer.
Point of information, on page 20 of number 49, which is the open meetings,
Time.
We have time, is it, on this discussion. We've extended it. I think we're ready to
call the question.
Extend for 2 more minutes.
Oh my God. Second
question.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 2 more minutes.
Question.
We were at Melinda. Let's let Melinda ask.
Melinda.
That question, that didn't pass. That
question.
Two-thirds needs a two-thirds vote, and only about 5 people voted.
Call the vote.
Okay. All in favor of extending for 2 more minutes by show of hands? All against, yeah, that's true. We may have some all against.
Not too bad.
No, discussion's closed. All abstain. Okay, discussion is closed. We're going to move to the vote.
Everybody already knows how you're going to vote anyway.
You would think.
That's okay. We're supporting him if we can, and I want to understand that.
Okay, the motion on the table is Duane's motion.
I'm going to abstain now. If Duane can't answer my question, I'm going to abstain.
Order.
Okay. We'll do this by show of hands. All in favor of Duane's motion? Raise your hand. Four. All opposed to Duane's motion? 8. Abstain? 5. Just simple one on that one. So the motion is. Failed. Okay, so we move on. Motion failed. Melinda?
I'd like to bring up one thing. The question that was raised about CPB funding and everything, I think it should be pointed out, if I'm not mistaken, and Wayne, could you please answer this? When we created our bylaws, were these not?
Motion to move forward.
Was the CPB not made aware of it?
The motion has failed, and so I think we're ready to move on.
Move.
The next.
Orders of the day. Call for
subject. So we're ready to go. We have 16 minutes to talk about the Pacifica National Board report.
Point of order. It's 9:30, and we have order preference. And I would like to ask that the next thing we consider is nominating Teresa Allen to the Community Advisory Board.
Okay. All in favor of moving that? Any other order of preference?
I would like to serve on the CAB.
Okay, I'll nominate. I'll nominate Jessica.
Second.
Okay, any other point of order, I mean, order of preference? Sorry, Tristan. We need to get through the... Okay, could you submit a list of who that is?
Then, let me add Susan Young's name.
Okay, what, make a list of who wants to be on the cab, and then if we have time, we'll let everybody know. How's that? But first, we're talking about the order of preference. Are there any other order of preference items to be brought forward? Right now, we've got election to the cab, which wasn't really on the agenda, so but you made a motion to do that.
We have a place.
Okay, so you want to do that under the community advisory board?
I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
If I make the motion that all the committees that have not been fulfilled or assignments that we permit or authorize the chair to appoint, that way we don't have to be in here any additional length of time, because if we give the chair the authorization, because most of us are going to agree to it by acclamation anyway, so we really don't really need to spend this additional time about assignments to committees.
Point of information.
It's expedite things.
Are you talking about the special committees or all of the committees?
Let me be clear. Those who desire to be on a committee, those who've been appointed to a committee, those specific openings that have not been fulfilled, will we allow and authorize the chair to appoint?
I would.
Well, cite what violation it is.
The rules are put together.
Specific sites, not just opinions.
But I know that there's a structure. And why, you know, normally, like you said, normally we just rubber stamp anybody that wants to be on the community advisory board. This discussion has been.
Well, you basically just said that we can do what we want to do anyway.
We can.
So why can't we authorize the chair to expedite
days this? And months, just like sending something to the
Section one,
I'm out of order.
Chair of the LSB is saying a committee shall solicit a convener, who shall act. That's understandable. It's
how is that inconsistent?
The cab is different. I move the year done. Let's just do it.
Yes. I mean, what's all this about?
I got a problem with these two.
Well, I wanted to nominate Susan Young to the cab. Joseph Kay, Teresa Allen, and Susan Young, all three.
Will she accept? If she accepts, say
yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
She would accept, but she could not actually take the seat until she's no longer on the national board, which will be when
which will be the end of this month.
Okay, so yeah. I second that. Okay.
I don't know what the cab is.
So now what we've got is during order of preference. We had moved up per Richard's motion to allow these nominations for the cab. So we have the nominations for the cab. Is there anything else that needs to be discussed in order of preference? No. If not, then we can then vote on the nominations to the cab. Would you read the list that you have?
Teresa, Joseph, and Susan.
Okay. Are there any objections to ratifying these people as members of the CAB, which is the Community Advisory Board? No. Okay. So ratified. Okay.
Congratulations, Teresa. You can't wait.
And Joseph. Okay, so now we're back to the agenda, which is the Pacifica National Board Report, which we have no one actually on the board that's a member of the Pacifica National Board yet, since they don't get seated until the end of January. So, let's move to the General Manager's Report.
I'd like to make a motion. Oh no! I've already still feel I do just want to express my disappointment in you as a body, that is part of my report. It was part of last month's report, I will go back to the program council and the program director, and we will discuss the options in terms of bringing this back to you with all the bells and whistles or whatever. My report is pretty cut and dry. I've already emailed it to you. It'll be posted on the website. You have hard copies here in front of you. Some of the things that are not listed in this report are related to some technical things. We've been having some problems with our server, with the hard drives. We had some crashes migrating the website that had been hacked through the server, and Otis has been working with Christian to move all of this to a new titanium encrusted server that's less hackable. It's being hardened is the technical term that I was sharing with me this afternoon. So this piece of equipment is being hardened as we speak, and the move will be completed before the week is out. It relates to issues of bandwidth usage as well. We've been overusing the amount of bandwidth that we were getting allocated to us by the server. We were incurring additional expenses that weren't budgeted in that, and so we've been waiting for the national technology people to come up with some kind of a national technology policy related to, sharing resources. There was a possibility of us sharing a server with WPFW, which is, our sister station in D.C. that's in need of a number of assists from its sister stations. That's still an ongoing discussion that we're having with them. Other than the disappointment about this program council issue, which I think impacts our ability to effectively evaluate and upgrade some of our programming, I'm still, by and large, excited about KPFT's programming and the direction it's headed in, and the new technology that's being put into effect. We had our very first broadcast, first live broadcast ever from the HD2 studio last week during execution watch. Otis and Ray and Elizabeth got to go into that brand new converted former news office space, and were able to broadcast live last week for that execution. And Ernesto's been meeting with lots of programmers who are interested in doing HD2. There's going to be a progressive rollout of basically a whole second station on the HD2 schedule. And as is mentioned in here, a lot of that's going to be counter-programming. We put music programming on the HD2 up against the talk programming that's currently on, and vice versa. We'll put talk programming on up against the midday music or the weekend musics and things like that. We may stack a bunch of Democracy Nows and play them during blues on Sunday and those kinds of sort of counter-programming our own programming to really round it out for people. We're looking at using some HD radios as premiums in the fund drive next month. And a couple of other exciting things like that to encourage people to join. In terms of our Haiti relief efforts and such, we jumped on that at the end of last week and were able to get a waiver from the FCC. Legally, we're not allowed to fundraise for outside organizations. we got a waiver from the FCC that allows us to do fundraising for Haiti relief, very similar to the waiver that we obtained from the Katrina and Rita and Ike, you know, fundraising efforts that we've done in the past around these big catastrophes. So one of the things that is a problem for us is that we're less than a month away from going into our own necessary fundraising drive. We have a big goal of nearly $300,000 that we have to raise in February. And so there are some real serious questions about whether we go on the air like this week or the beginning of next week and do like a focused 12-hour mini marathon that's expressly to raise money that will be distributed to these organizations we've asked permission from the FCC to raise funds for, which is Doctors Without Borders, Partners in Health, and the Multi-Ethnic Community Center out in Southwest Houston. So we've been playing lots and lots of expanded public service announcements for all three of them. We didn't need a waiver to do that. We could do that all year, all the time anyway. So the debate now internally on the staff level, and if y'all have feedback on it, I'd appreciate it, to get a sense of the board on this, in terms of whether you think it would be good to spend a day doing specific targeted fundraising. A station in Tampa did it last Friday or Saturday. They raised $93,000 in one day. Our sister station in Berkeley is raising today. They had a goal of $100,000 to raise in one focused day. Whether we could do that, the logistics involved in doing that, you know, whether y'all would be willing to maybe pull a phone shift and come down to the station and answer phones and take pledges to do that, that's an open question. But one thing that I know we're planning to do, regardless of whether we can actually put together like a day for Haiti before the fund drive, much like last year when we did the community partners benefit, where you donate to KPFT, and as we said on the air, 8% of what you give to KPFT will be shared with our partner organizations. Well, that was a 1% thing. We gave it to the Musicians Benevolent Society, and we gave it to the Pink Ribbon Project, and we gave it to, I think there were 8 different community organizations, you know, that we ended up giving somewhere between, you know, $80 and $115 checks to in this, you know, really nice little presentation ceremony. And they were very appreciative, and to me it was like a first step. What we're talking about doing with next month's fund drive is to really bump that up to a significant number and say, okay, your gift to KPFT, if you skip getting a premium or, you know, don't get the tote bag, 10% of what you give as a free and clear gift will be reallocated to one of these Haiti Relief Service partners. And I think that will actually encourage more people to give to KPFT. I think we would make more than 10% more than the goal, and I think that would be a real win-win thing to do the community partner thing in a very much expanded way during the entire fund drive in February. So that's not really mentioned in here because that's still an internal kind of discussion, but if you have any feedback on either or both of those, I'd love to hear from you on that. So I think that's the gist of was not already typed out and shared.
Okay, Ted?
Yeah. Jen, I'm really, well, the Haiti thing is it's hard to talk about the State of the Union address when you're talking about Haiti, but there is a connection. And as you know, I sent you I hope you know, I don't know whether you got it or not, but I sent you an email. And I said, is there a chance that we're going to have local response to the Obama address? And also, is there a chance that there would be some way for people to make donations at the same time? And, you know, people could call in and can you put together a panel of KPFT experts who would take feedback. You say in your report here, KPFT expects to air. I sure hope that's an absolute or 99% and not 51%. I don't know what expects means. But
we're planning on it, and it depends on, you know, KPFA is sending Mitch Jezerich to do it.
Afterwards, is there a chance of putting a team of KPFT experts to take calls locally and to do an analysis of the State of the Union? And is there a chance of doing some fundraising around this? Maybe that's too complicated, but I don't know the logistics. That's what
I don't think there's any fundraising component to a late Wednesday night broadcast schedule, and Ron can maybe give you more information than I in terms of any discussion about a local component to it. I know that Mitch is going to have a national analysis portion of the program with, you know, some heavy hitters on the network as a follow-up to that next Wednesday.
Will there be call-ins? And that's my last question.
I believe there will.
We are at our regular scheduled adjournment time. Do we either need a motion to extend or a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
I love the draw.
The first, Melinda, was really quick, so unless somebody seconds that. We have a motion to adjourn. If not, we go to the motion.
Well, I think she did supersede my motion to adjourn. She has a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, Melinda.
There wasn't a second on the motion.
There was no second there, so.
There's no need for a second.
Making a motion to extend
a second.
For
second. Oh, I'm second. Yeah, second. 2 minutes. And that's all in favor.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Oh, thank you guys.
Okay. I think there's a few people that have a question. I appreciate thank you. Everybody I know has been listening to Amy Goodman over the last 2 days, especially, and I know she, you know, came down there and one of the houses called the Matthew 25 House. My sister has been involved as well with fundraising for that group and is actually going down as a nurse and doing triage once on Tuesdays. And we've been donating to them for a long time. They're kind of like KPFT. They use all volunteers. They have no over whatever money they do in, no right running. It's not like the Red Cross, I think. Every bit of money goes to this place. And I know Amy Goodman's been talking about it. She's been there. They've been helping around the place. And she mentioned it yesterday. She's mentioned it again today. And they are marvelous. They actually are Catholic. Well, I mean, it's me. Okay? I'm not Catholic, but I've been donating to it for years. And I'd love for us to be involved with donating to an organization that 100% of all the donations go to, you know, actually people on the ground there that are doing the work.
Ron, did you have something?
Well, yeah, I was just going to reiterate with what Duane was saying in regards to Ted's suggestion about coverage. The news department could assist in the coverage of the, you know, the president's State of the Union address. If in fact you need assistance, I would be more than happy to find local experts to talk about that, and even programmers who are already on KPFT's air to, you know, provided that, you know, the time, you know, we do it, you know, if you can, basically, I would be more than willing to assist with that.
I second that.
And I'd like to say that I'm dismayed very often whenever we have national coverage by the lack of any representation whatsoever from here in Texas. And I'm wondering if you would be willing to fight for anybody down here in Texas to be part of that national coverage.
We don't have people on the payroll that we can just say, okay, we're sending you to Washington, D.C. for Berkeley does.
In a week.
But we do have an ISBN line.
As an example.
Oh.
We do have an ISBN line.
Then we do that. Right. Hey.
And we do. And Leo Gold has hosted a national show. We've had national Juneteenth broadcasts that have come out of KPFT. So it's certainly not unprecedented. It's logistically sometimes difficult to do in the scope of a national network of the broadcast. And yeah, KPFT has frequently and historically been the red-headed stepchild of the network.
I say we don't carry the national program. I mean, seriously, I mean, we want to talk to experts about what really is relevant for people in our backyards.
Well, then my suggestion is that you and Tucker need to have regular meetings with Ernesto to hammer these kind of things out, because I am not the program director. I'm trying to manage a radio station.
Yeah, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not, complaining about your role in this programming issue. I'm just saying, if the national usually doesn't, if it's a national program, it just doesn't cater to our audience. And, we have local needs and local politicians and local political analysts who we speak to regularly. So.
I'm all for it. That would be my preference. Although Mitch, Mitch is really good. I think he does some real compelling broadcasting. I think he's a good journalist. And I think he also has, through his network connections, access to a level of expert that we don't necessarily have access to. And there's also the flip side of that coin. We have a whole level of access to people here who are equally as worthy of exposure and are oftentimes speaking more to the issues of this market and the Houston area. And I'm all for it. So I think we
quickly, in the future, I would like to see a bit more spontaneous coordination with the board with respect to immediate or emergency issues like Haiti. As a community broadcasting station, particularly one that has an emphasis on outreach, it's no reflection of you, the manager, but I think it is a reflection of the station, that in these last 7 or 8 days ensuing this event, that there has not been a very heavy presence of programming, special programming, whether it was fundraising or whatever the case, addressing this terrible situation. And I think that we have the largest Haitian population in Houston outside of New York. But more important, I think that you need some help. And if you were, just a suggestion, if you were to have contacted the chair the day after this hit and asked the chair whether there were any board members who wanted to help organize any specific programming, working with you and the station program director, because the presence and the image and the message is being sent out from KPFT is a silent message, but it's a very, very strong one, that we talk about the established media, we talk about the establishment media, but unless we be that arm, unless we be that reticent voice, that instant response in an issue like this, I think we certainly would get more people, more exposure. Maybe when we go into the fundraiser in 10 or 11 days, some people would be inclined to say, oh yes, I remember what they did for that Haitian situation. So no reflection on you. I'm just suggesting that the next time something like this kick off, as I know I would be available to you, contact the chair and ask the chair to solicit any board members who may have expertise in this area, who may weigh in on some special program, bring some resources, for instance, Haitians in the community. I haven't heard them on the station in terms of what they're going through, some therapy, as well as many of us wanting to know what can we do. And specifically with the three benefactors of any efforts that we make, certainly as a board member, I would have liked to have suggested a couple of other organizations, particularly Haitian Ministry, who was formed out of Houston as a result of a disaster in Haiti and has an impeccable reputation. Because many of us don't, we don't give to Red Cross, we don't give to any of the organizers, because we know that money does not get to the floor of the people. But there are NGOs, particularly Haitian Ministries and a couple others here, that we know the people. So we would be comfortable raising money, and KPFT could make them partners as well. Because there's a concern about some of these established ministries or groups that go into Haiti, and the administrative cost is eaten up. So we need to look at groups that are more localized and that we can have a bit more accountability as to whether or not those funds are being used in the proper way. But we do have people here that we need to be coordinating with, and I think the station would serve itself very well if it reached out to them.
I'm open to going to the FCC and requesting waivers for more than the three organizations that we have currently received permission to fundraise for. And in terms of the Haitian American Ministries, I heard representatives of that group on for an hour this afternoon. So I agree with you. I think there are local groups, and I'm willing to expand.
Okay.
In my area, where I used to live, there's over 300,000 patients in Little Haiti over there. So I think discussion about people trying to foster 400,000 plus workers that are there right now, maybe that can be discussed on the air, perhaps. They need everything. The government can supply the actual medical needs, but I mean, this is a purpose. This is something that should be.
Send me an email. Maybe that's something we'll do tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who would join the meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
All in favor? Never need for a second for an adjournment, but I think the motion can call, so you have to.
All in favor?
All in favor.
We'll just get that one.
You know, I'm going to.